Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. It is September the 18th of 2022, and we are on for 90 minutes, hour and a half Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. I did get on here a little early, and I was able to get on without any problems today. I saw a category, and I always put in here either Christianity or the Bible. And there was a category on here, if anybody is curious about it, that is about as anti-Bible or contradictory to what we're going to talk about today as you can be. I'm not going to mention what it was. Unnecessary, but if anybody's wondering why I put that category on here, I didn't. But we're on, no problems. We don't have another program in our way like last week we did. Which is good because I don't have the capability with a telephone to do any more than answer a phone call or make a phone call on my better day. So we will proceed. Enough of that. We have a phone number you can call in on toll-free from either a landline or a cell phone. 319-527-6208, and that is toll-free. And just a couple of parameters for those who have been, heard this in the, us in the past. I always say, please keep your comments or your questions relevant to the scripture we're reading. And then, I hate to say this, but those who were with me, say, a year and a half ago, we were getting a rash of people calling in that were using vulgarities that I would even use, not just simple things like the place of torment that we go to if we don't go to heaven, but I mean things that I just would be embarrassed among adults to even say myself, and I'm almost 80 years old. So if any of that starts taking place where someone gets into anything other than the topic we're talking about or there's any vulgarities, like I'll always say each week, I will disconnect. That's simple. Even I can handle that. And I do welcome calls, ask questions, or we talk about the topic that we're in. Okay. And now I'm gonna read two verses to you, and we're gonna pray about it. I'm gonna pray for guidance. But first of all, I'm gonna read 2 Timothy 3:15-16, and I wouldn't mind if you could go there. 2 Timothy 3:15-16. From a child you have known the Holy Scripture. The Holy Scripture was written here, folks. Understand, from a child you have known it. This was written 2,000 years ago, so it had to involve not only the New Testament, but of course the Old Testament. From a child you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The first phrase in 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm now going to go to 2 Peter 1:20-21. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have very clearly stated in two books, 2 Timothy and Peter, epistles, that the Holy Spirit is the one who has inspired every word in the Scripture. And it is not man's private interpretation. I'll just say what the scripture says. So Holy Spirit, based upon the validity and the inerrancy of the words that we just read out of Timothy and Peter, every word in this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God, I know that that is true. And I'm going to ask you to give me, as I read from the book of Judges today, we continue there, to give me the words to explain what I'm reading. But I'm going to ask you to do what I can't do even for myself, and that is to highlight, accentuate, whatever the meaning you want each one of the individuals on this program today to have that comes out of these verses. You be the one to be the teacher. I am not the teacher. I am one who at my best can point people to your words per John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. You are the teacher, and I ask you again in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to use every word of Scripture for the people who are listening to give them what they need today. I can't even do that for myself, God, and I'm going to, again, ask you to do that, and I know you will, and I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start. We left off in Judges last week, 5:24. And we're talking in the book of Judges about an ongoing, continuous issue that Israel had, and it had for 450 years. And that was, in 450 years, they had times of peace when they obeyed God in the promised land, and times of absolute tragedy, disaster, even slavery. And these times would be anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 40 years, I believe is the longest one recorded, be it a time of apostasy, which meant that they went and worshiped idols in the churches and the temples that were to worship God, Yahweh. They actually took their Asherah poles and they took their Baal, instruments of Baal worship and went in. And the consequences were that in 450 years, they had 10 different apostasies. And in those apostasies, they were terribly massacred, beat terribly in war. When they would obey God in the promised land and walk according to his statutes, his commandments, everything would go fine. They would have the milk and honey in the promised land. They would eat of the fruit that took was so big that the cluster of grapes took two men to carry. When they decided that they were comfortable, they no longer wanted to obey God, the very same people of Israel, the church, went into apostasy. They not only lost sometimes in some battles when God told them, don't go into battle because I will not be with you due to your worship of Baal, Moloch, and your false gods in my church, they not only lost anywhere from 5,000 to 35,000 people in a day, but they went into seven servitudes over 450 years. And servitudes means they were slaves. But in each time, they had 10 different apostasies, and God, up until 1 Samuel chapter 8, God gave them, in all of these different judges, God would give them forgiveness. And remember, they had 10 different apostasies. Nine apostasies, 10 judges. the judges were the ones who were giving them the words of God, and that they lived by them, and their conduct in the promised land was according to what God said. And it said many times, do not turn to the right or the left. Just take my demands, take my laws, take my rules, whatever you want to call them, and this is what you're to do. Now, you imagine these people in 450 years went in to apostasy so often and so often suffered the consequences. Now, why am I going over this? I'm not a person much, I never have been, who's been interested in history for history's sake. That's just the way I am. It's not one of my interesting fields. But what I want to look at this, folks, is this is written to us today. This is written to us today that we are to be sure and examine yourself daily, as 2 Corinthians 13:5 says. Examine yourselves daily whether you be in the faith, because the enemy is going to throw every I was going to say curveball, but a curveball is too easy. Every beanball that he's going to aim right for your skull, he's going to throw it at you every day. The enemy doesn't take time off. He doesn't take recess. He doesn't, as most people who are involved in Bible studies in churches, they would take the summer off. No, the enemy never takes off. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word of God. Know what God's will for you is. Walk with God. We had in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, excuse me, we had Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews 11. It talks about Enoch walked with God. Walking with God, folks, does not mean that you perspire holy water. Walking with God means that you are searching to him. You're in prayer, and your thoughts are on God. You're looking for him to give you wisdom. You're not going to man first. You're not going to religion. You're not going to any denomination or any church service. You're going to God first. God created us to have an eternal fellowship with us in heaven. That was the purpose of our creation. That's religion. That's the first thing I think I learned in religion as a kid, is why did God make us? It was to know, love, and serve him on this earth and to spend eternity with him in heaven. That was the purpose God made us. But he wants to start that from you as soon as you're willing to repent and believe the true gospel of the Bible, of which Paul was a very strong proponent and explainer of. And once you have repented and believe the gospel and you're baptized with the baptism of Romans 6, 3 through 6, not the baptism of ceremony, the baptism, the only baptism that says you have to have to be saved and born again, Romans 6, 3 through 6, you are now in the promised land. And there is a specific code of morality. There are specific laws. There are specific instructions where God tells us what to do, what not to do, when to go to battle with our enemy, when not to. And I'm just recounting this so we get into Judges. Now, we're into this Judges chapter 5, and we're going to show here where Deborah is now the judge. And we are going to, we've read that last time. And we are going to start with Judges chapter 6. And we're going to talk about the children of Israel here. We're going to keep going. And you're going to see when the people of Israel, when they obeyed the words of the judges, who gave him the words of God, the instructions, no ambiguity, no interpretations, no arguing about what book or what translation or who said it, no debating about all the different authors that we argue about in the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired every word in the scripture, and God inspired every word that went to the judges. And what I want us to see, as we've been in the book of Judges, we're up to chapter 6 now, how this stuff, by stuff I meant, their morality as a group, of a church group, went up and down with how they obeyed God's word or did not. So in chapter 6, we have the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here we go again. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. That's a servitude. Remember, these people in 450 years, they would have good times for 30, 40, 50 years, and then they would all of a sudden go into Baal worship, Moloch worship. In the churches, they would bring items of worship to false gods, to pagan gods, and they would worship them in Yahweh's temple. So here we go again. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. When do we learn, folks? When do we learn? Don't look at this as history. I don't want you to look at this as almost 3,000 years ago, which I believe it was. I want you to look at this as right now today. This has been being written to us today. We are for born again. If we're born again, we are in the promised land. And you have specific instructions of what you are to do and not to do. And if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, that is the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Isaiah and Joshua, make it very clear in the promised land. God gives you his dictates, his demands, his laws to cover everything. When you're in around the enemy, even though you're in the promised land and you've trusted God and he's protected you from the enemy, there are times when God said, have nothing to do with them. There's other times when he says, go into the enemy and destroy every man, woman, child, and even animals. Don't even take anything out of there. Don't take any spoils. Folks, we got to learn when we're in the promised land to have our fellowship with God. Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to pay the sin debt that man owed from Adam and Eve. And when he paid that sin debt, it now opened up the channels for God Almighty to deal with us as a father. Our Father who art in heaven. And it opened up this fellowship. Take advantage of that fellowship. Oh, I'm not that good of a Christian. I don't care if you're there. You know, who's to say who's a good Christian? I don't even want to use that terminology. You may even say, oh, I'm not even sure I'm a believer. Folks, there were times when not every single human being on the face of the earth was born into sin. In Romans 5, it says we're born into enmity with God. But here's the problem you see with these people of Israel, that they just keep constantly. They keep, after a few years of everything going good, oh, I can now start sinning a little bit. And that's exactly what they did. It didn't come on overnight. They started a little bit here, a little bit there. Then they would, you know, God gave them grace for a bit. And then they think, well, we'll push the envelope a little further. Folks, I am tempted to do this myself. Please look at what we're going to read. It's not 3,000 years ago or history. This is today. Verse 2, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites, which are the enemy in the promised land, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. These are all enemy. Remember? God says that if you're living in the promised land and you're following his laws, his statutes, his commandments, that he has already defeated the enemy, even though they're there. They're going to spit at you. They're going to yell at you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to harass you. They cannot hurt you. But the moment that we turn from God and go into apostasy, which these people did 9 times in 450 years, God takes his hands off of the enemy. And now you think you can handle it without God? Go right ahead. And in 450 years, with 9 different apostasies, 7 different times of slavery, hundreds of thousands of people killed. They didn't learn. We are no different. I'm going to say something, and I want you to believe it. Don't think I'm just saying it to make the story a little bit more believable. I don't feel the need. And remember, feelings are feelings. But I am a firm believer that when things are going good is when I need to keep my fellowship at its high point with God. When things are going bad, when you're in a period of pain, you're in a period of suffering, you're in a period of mental anguish, whatever it would be, it is almost, especially for a believer, it's second nature to trust God, to seek him. But as a believer, folks, I will tell you that when things start going good and I start getting a period which is going well and nothing is going wrong, even though I start compromising a little bit here and there, I can tell you, as long as things stay good, I need to be more aggressive in my desire to pray, read the scripture, communicate with God, walk with him, have fellowship with him when things are good. When things are bad, as a believer, and probably most of you feel this way, you have a natural tendency to seek God. So this is human nature, and we see it here in Israel. In verse 3, and so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of Israel, and even they came up against them. And they encamped against them. The enemy encamped against Israel, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come to Gaza, and left no sustenance whatsoever for Israel, neither sheep, ox, or ass. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers to multiply. The grasshoppers were the enemy. That's how many there were. They were innumerable. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels are without number. They entered into the land to destroy it. This is the land of God's people. Why? Because in 450 years, 9 times, the people of God saw that living in the promised land was something that they thought they could compromise their values, and they could disobey God, and they could live their life however they wanted, and if God didn't like it, he could lump it. Again, read the book of Judges and go into 1 Samuel. 450 years, 9 separate times, they went into apostasy, which means turning from their faith in Yahweh, and going to serving Baal, Moloch, and the false gods, which is Satan. You can give them all kinds of names to their false gods, but it's Satan they're serving. We do the same thing, folks. You and I do. This was not just written for those people. Remember, everyone who's born again, per Galatians 3, 6, and 9, 3, 16, and 29, the current church is everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ and is born again. Everybody the current people who are the heirs to the promise, Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham before any of this started. In the very beginning, God made the Abrahamic covenant and made promises to Abraham and to his descendants. And Galatians 3:16-29 clearly tell us that at the moment Christ died, all of those who believed in him were the seed of Abraham to which the promises were made. So everything in this Old Testament does apply to us. The church, the invisible church today, is all believers in Jesus Christ, no matter what nationality, what religion you were raised in, whether you were religious or not, whether you believed in anything or not. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are now the subject of the book of Judges. And the enemy is going to try to get you to do one thing, the same thing he did with Eve. Just think of Eve in Genesis 2:25. Her and Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, and they were naked before God, which we all are, means he sees through everything we do, and yet they had no shame because they were in total fellowship with God. They were totally God-centered, God-dependent. The moment they sinned, and what was the sin they committed? It wasn't fornication. It wasn't lust. It wasn't pornography. It wasn't drug addiction. It wasn't lasciviousness. It wasn't drunkenness. It wasn't murder. It wasn't theft. It wasn't covetousness. It's the same thing with Eve, where it all started to unravel in the very next chapter, after chapter 2, where they walked with God in the coolness of the day. It started to unravel by a very innocent thing, Genesis 3:1. Did God really say, doubt? When somebody says something to you folks about the veracity, the validity of the Bible, and the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired every word, Old Testament, New Testament, are you going to believe it or are you going to doubt it? Are you going to go listening to people who give you reasons to doubt it rather than the Holy Spirit that says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 that every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit? It's your choice. Folks, we're going to go into eternity with what we believe. You better base your belief on what the Word of God says, not the Word of man, including me. The last thing I want anybody to do is to be directed by me. That is why I never give a study, I never have, and I hope I never do, that I don't give Bible verses. I, on my best day, have one ability, only one. I can't teach you anything. I can't teach me. I point you to the teacher, which is the Holy Spirit of God, which is John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. And he's written every word in here. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, it says that all scripture was given by inspiration of God. And it was given for certain reasons. Let me read you those reasons. This is repetitive, but the enemy is repeatedly trying to get into your head, trying to get you to have a reason to not believe the Word of God, including the New Testament. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Okay, now that's 15. After 15 comes 16. Once you are born again, you're saved through faith in Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's as believers. If you're going to walk away from this as the people of Israel did then, and we do today, folks, human nature doesn't change. the very cause of all sin goes back to one statement. That's Genesis 3:1. We doubt what the Word of God says. The basic root cause of all sin, sin, S-I-N, singular, not the acts of sin, such as pornography and adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and murder and theft and covetousness. In fact, Galatians 5:19, I believe it is, calls those works of the flesh. But all sin starts with one thing. Did God really say? And let me give you that in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we go to John. We go to chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. When he has come, this is Christ referring to the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. You see, the root cause of sin is doubt. Is Jesus really the Christ? Is he the Christ? Many false Christian religions who claim they're Christian or not claim that there's a Jesus Christ. I know that they do. They believe there was a man, Jesus. They don't believe he is Christ. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way to God other than through him. If you don't have him, you don't have God. Just think of that. And these are the same as these people. They're doubting. They're doubting what the judges have told them. That's why in 450 years, they went through 9 separate times when they apostatized. Thousands murdered. Horrible living circumstances are right here. They lost all their, planting, and they sowed, and the fields gave forth much fruit, but the Amalekites, the Midianites, came up against them and encamped, and they took everything they had. It says in verse 4, there was no substance left for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They didn't even have enough to feed their animals. Folks, is this what we want to do? We want to play games with the Word of God? We want to cast doubt on the fact that the Holy Spirit has inspired every word in the Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament through the prophets or the New Testament, as he spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave gifts to men, and men, the four Gospels, and then all of the epistles. And we want to say that that is not the inspired Word of God. Folks, you better think of what you're doing. Don't take what I'm saying. I want you to read the Scripture, please. And if you're going to argue with the Scripture, I can't help that. I can't change it. I feel very bad about it for you. But we will continue to pray. If anybody is in that position, God, please show them. We're talking about heaven and hell here. If they do not repent. And once you believe that the inspired Word of God, your faith will fall. Why do I say that? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once you no longer believe that this is inerrant, it is not wrong, it cannot make a mistake. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. Once you believe that this was not inspired by God, every word in all the epistles and all the prophecies of the Old Testament, you are on dangerous territory, folks. And that's where these people were. That's where they started. They started every one of these 9 apostasies, 10 apostasies. They started every one. Let's see, I get confused in this. Bear with me. I believe my mathematic figures are wrong. It was 10 judges and 9 apostasies. It's not hard to remember, but for almost 80 years old, I don't know why I keep getting messed up. They had 9 apostasies and 10 judges. I think that was it. That is pathetic that I get confused on that figure. But I want you to see this. And I will be right with the caller in a minute. They were going through where they didn't even have food for their sheep or ox or donkeys, no less than themselves. And they came up with their cattle in their tents, and they came as grasshoppers. This is who? The enemy. You want to doubt what God says? You want to believe that the Holy Spirit is not has inspired either the New Testament or any words in the Old or New Testament? You're gambling, folks. And once the enemy invades, you are in trouble. I'm going to bring Raven on, and she will read for us as she does. Are you on?
Hello there. Yes, Carl, I'm here.
Yes. Okay. We are in Judges. I'm in chapter 6, and I just read verse 5, and is the people again went into apostasy again here. They were not obeying the word of God that was given through the judge, which was Deborah, which we covered her last week. And why don't you read verses 3, 4, and 5, and that'll bring you up to speed with where we are. And this is the thing I'm pointing out, is when you and I decide that we're going to get lax and we're going to give in to nonsensical stuff like we hear in church, that there's reason to doubt the Bible. There's reason to doubt the Bible because there's so many translations. When you're going to hear people who supposedly are Christians say that one part of the Bible, most of the New Testament is demonic. It is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Folks, you don't have to argue with me. You're going to have a horrible day when Judgment Day comes. If you see the truth of what we're trying to show you, I've read 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 about the Word of God being necessary for salvation as well as living your whole life after salvation. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not getting this to campaign against anybody, because the last couple of weeks, folks, we've had so many conversations back and forth. I'm not going to go through them, but this is not a reaction against this. This is something that happened almost 3,000 years ago, folks, where the Word of God is under attack, because that's where it started in Genesis 3:1. The world did not go into sin because of a form of government, because of a form of sin. It went into total oblivion because believers were lollygagged into believing that the Word of God is not inerrant. So go ahead and read 3, 4, 5, and that'll bring you up to speed of where we were.
All right. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it.
And it was our fault. It was believers' fault because they forsook God. We do the same thing, folks. These people were actually bringing in items of worship of Asherah poles. They were bringing in items of worship of Moloch and of different pagan gods. We do the same thing when we come in the churches and say that we have reason to not believe that the scripture is accurate because there were so many translations. We do the same thing when we accuse anybody of reading any verse in the New or Old Testament and says that that verse is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're doing the same
Amen.
Thing, folks, and we're going to suffer the same consequences these people did. Now, you ask the question. There used to be a program on TV years ago, and the host would say in his question, and Mary Jane was so stupid, and the audience would yell, how stupid was she? How stupid could these people of Israel be, folks, in 450 years? They threatened God with their unbelief. And they went into horrendous situations like Raven's reading now. And
yeah.
the enemy would kill 30, 40,000 of them at a time. They went into slavery in 450 years, seven times. What are you
yeah.
and I doing that's the same thing? I don't want to look at this as history. I want, as Raven
right.
reads these verses, I want us to put ourselves in this when we apostatize. And I don't know anything that I could say is worse apostasy than to try to convince others or ourselves that there's a reason to doubt the Word of God, or that the Word of God, every word, New and Old Testament, was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're on terrible territory. You're gambling with your soul. Okay, let's
yes.
go 6-7.
So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass
remember,
when
Raven,
the children of...
Remember.
Yeah.
Just remember, when Deborah came in and they followed the words of Deborah, which were they obeyed everything that she said, which God gave them to do and not to do.
Yes.
We were in chapter 5 with Deborah. You can just read that. Where everybody was offering thanksgiving and praise to God, singing to the Lord, singing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And they went out and they came back and everything was just fantastic. Their life was fantastic. The mountains melted before them, even Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. At one time, they couldn't even go out on the roads. The roads were completely bare because of crime. But now, since they obeyed God, and they threw away their old gods. They were able to inhabit the village. There was life. There was happiness. There was no threat from the enemy. Now, the minute they doubt the Word of God, folks, which we're doing in the churches today, I've heard it in person. I've heard it on phones. I've read it in people's statements. The minute we do that, folks, we are gambling and putting ourselves in Judges chapter 6, which follows the lovely part of 5, where we're going into the horrendous situation that Raven just read in 3, 4, 5, and 6. You've got to understand
yeah.
there's a cause and effect. There's a cause and effect. This is not just osmosis. Okay. You can keep going.
You know, it's funny you say that, Carl, because you know, this is why we're not supposed to seek blessings of the world. We're not supposed to seek things like money and all those kind of blessings of, you know, the things of the earth. Because when we start to get those things, then we start to look away from God and we start to look towards the things of the earth and we're like, oh, everything's great. We don't need God right now.
Raven,
you know,
I do the same thing. I've told you personally that when the hammer is on me and when I'm going through problems, which this has been a bad week again, and starting physically to go downhill,
mm-hmm.
I have a tendency to hold on to God very tightly. When my life
mm-hmm.
starts going well and I start entertaining myself with the things of the world, not sin, when things
yep.
start getting good, like you just said, don't do, I start to float away from God. I know that.
Yeah. Yes.
So keep going. You're
yes,
on the right track because I have that tendency myself.
Yeah, we do. You know, it's and this is why, and I know I come back to it every time, but this is why James 1, 2 through 4 is so true. Count it all joy when you go through trials, because
well,
that is
Hebrews 12, Raven, is exactly what James is saying.
Yes. You know, those trials are what bring you closer to God. Those are what we need. We need those to keep us close to Him. When everything starts going all hunky-dory, that's when we fall away from Him further, and we forget that, you know, we're just out partying and having a great old time, you know, and we forget Him. No, we need to go through trials because it brings us to greater maturity in Christ. Count it all joy. Be happy you're going through them because it keeps you close to Him.
But see, the problem here, Raven, and these is these people, when God gave them the fruit of the land, which He gave them, they turned on Him and actually worshiped false gods. And they did the same thing we're doing today. They're saying that God did not inspire the Bible. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to connect what these people did because all kinds of, pardon my language, all kinds of literal hell on earth, and I mean hell on earth, from the master of hell, Satan. These people in 450 years did not learn. How often does Carl compromise his value a little here or there?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, folks, I've got that tendency, and I don't think anybody's any different than anybody else. Satan works on all of us. If you're one who is finding yourself criticizing the scripture, criticizing and not believing the word of God, which is exactly where Genesis 3:1 started. Everything that goes wrong in our lives today, folks, goes right back to Genesis 3:1. We're doing the same thing today by in churches arguing that the Bible contradicts itself, telling people that they can only use one version of the Bible. Telling people in a church Bible study, which I did myself, I didn't tell them, but a person given reasons why he sees why the Bible is not trustworthy. And then getting into the absolute extrapolation of this, where you actually say the Bible is not inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I want to just, as we keep reading and you read this horrendous situation they went through after Deborah, this is going to happen to us. Wake up. Go ahead.
All right, let's see. I'm in verse 8, I believe. 7.
Yep.
And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.
Gee, and this is Raven, in 450 years, this is 9 times of repenting and God restoring them, and then they went back again. How many times have I done it?
Yes. Oh, me too.
Do you
I
see
the
what
same
this
thing.
Applies to you and I, though? I mean, can you put yourself, even though this is 3,000 years ago, that's what I want people to see. It can happen. And David Wilkerson, in one of his YouTube sermons, it's called Last Day Warning or something of that nature. He says that the closer to God you get, the closer to Christ you walk, the harder the enemy is going to try to deceive you. So don't think that the fact that these thoughts come into your mind mean you're evil. But you got to take those thoughts and do what he said here. You do what he said, what Raven just said here. In fact, do me a favor. I want you to read 9 and 10 again because God's saying, I want you to bring all your sin, all your weakness. Bring it to me. because I'm the one who will drive the enemy out of the land. It's not your holiness. It's not your church. It's not your denomination. It's not your pastor. It's certainly not that jerk Carl you listen to on Sunday afternoon. It is God, Jesus Christ on the cross. Go ahead.
And if it's never happening to you, if you're never going through any sort of trials, then God says something about that too. Then you better look at yourself and see, are you really a believer? Are you really in Christ right now?
You know what, Raven? That David Wilkerson, it was Last Day's Deception. I would recommend everybody on this listen to this sometime. Last Day's Deception, David Wilkerson on YouTube, and he goes through this. And he said, it's in every church. And he said, what you just said, if it's not in my church, I got bigger problems.
Yes.
Because Satan has already got us in his back pocket. Okay. But read 9 and 10 again, and this is what we have to realize. Only God can deliver us and continues to.
Okay. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.
And Raven, even though this is 3,000 years ago, Carl has the same tendency. Unless I go back to him.
Yeah.
Now, what does God do to us? And what you said, God will put difficulty in our life because as human beings, especially believers, we tend to draw closer to him when we need help desperately. And that's where your reference to James 1:2-4. And I'm starting to go through it again, Raven. This has been a very, not a horrible week, but getting there. And I had another thing happen this morning, which could have been a major disaster to me. And God has just shown me, Carl, I'm doing this to protect you. Because even when I realized what could have happened to me this morning at 5 a.m., something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I actually... Rather than getting up and being upset, I actually praised God and thanked him because this it could have been something a lot worse. But you see here again.
Count it all joy, Carl.
I did. And that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know that's not my high. That's not my go-to card is counting things joy. I am more of one who grumbles in their tent, murmurs in the tent. But I thought of what, and I honestly did, as I was laying there, I thought of what you said, count it all joy, because God was using this because he's saying, Carl, I see what's coming down the road for you, and you've got to fellowship with me every day, every minute. Trust me. Don't trust in, like Raven said, we start trusting in things of the world, and she didn't mean sin. We can trust in things of the world like, you know, our security and our job, but the fact we love certain ball games, or we got tickets to go to the Super Bowl or the World Series. Those things are great.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. That's why I bring sports up. But don't make that the thing where you go for your consolation and you go for your peace on this earth, because those things are not what's going to bring peace. Go ahead with 11. Well, did you read 9 and 10 again?
Okay.
The 9 and 10,
I did.
I want you to read it because, you did. Okay. Because 9 and 10 is why God gives you what James said. He gives you the troubles. So you realize he's the one that delivered you from Egypt. Okay.
Yes.
Let's go
Amen.
To 11 and continue. 11 and on.
Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, not Winfrey, Ophrah.
No.
Which belongs.
I had to look at that word twice. Yeah.
which belong to Joash. I'm sorry, I had to get that in there.
No problem.
Which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites.
Now, they're still under oppression. They're still under verses 3, 4, and 5. They don't even have enough food to feed their sheep or their ox, no less themselves. Now, here's Gideon.
Excuse me.
This is Gideon. An angel of the Lord comes to this Joash.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles?
Raven, hold on. Do you see where that could be us when we get into James 1 doesn't make sense to the natural mind?
Mm-hmm.
James 1, quote that 2 through 4, and then this 11 again.
Yeah. I'm right there. My brethren, count it all joy. You know, I want to say something as I'm reading this. It says, count it all joy. It doesn't say you will or you should or you might. It is a command.
Yes.
Count it.
And
do
it
this.
It doesn't say that you're going to be enjoying it.
Right. It tells us to do it, and then it tells us why. Count it all joy.
And that's what you're going to see when you talk about, you're talking about James and tie it in with 13 now.
Yes. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Now, take the 13 and about Gideon.
Okay. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? I know
you
that you have to be like me, Carl, and you have said this many times. I know I have. Why am I going through this? Why has this happened to me? Why are you letting this? I've been there. I get it. I used to say that all the time.
Yes.
But do you see why
God has got it? But do you see, Raven, because God sees that Carl is no different from them. Carl is probably going through in his lifetime more than 9 apostasies, maybe 109.
I am so grateful for James 1, 2 through 4, and the trials he has allowed me to go through. I know that sounds insane.
You see, but Raven, do you see if you were Gideon and you just said you asked God why? You see, he's giving you the answer to this question in verse 13 in James 1, 2 through 4. That's your answer.
Yes. But I went through a lot to get there.
Oh.
I went through a lot to get to that point where I was able to count it all joy. It took me a lot to get there.
I see what you're saying. In other words, you don't just read it and say, okay, God, I'm going to count it joy. You're right. It doesn't come by osmosis.
I don't want people who are listening to think, easy for her to say. You can't just do that. That's true. It isn't like you don't snap your fingers and it happens. You don't.
Yeah, it's not an intellectual
it's not
thing
like,
where someone shows you how to solve an equation.
Right. Yeah, this is, as you go through those trials, you start to see, God starts to show you how it how you count it all joy, because he brings you through those and he shows you why this brings you closer and closer to him, and how the testing of your faith produces patience. This is why it's important to read those verses and to see that, oh yeah, there's truth in that. There is actually truth in that, you know, and allow him to talk to you and go to him in prayer about it. Because in the beginning, I've told you this, Carl, you know, the first few times I read those verses, probably the first 12 times I read those couple verses, my actual thought was I scoffed at those. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I scoffed verses.
Hold on, Raven, read the rest of 13. That's the same thing that this guy is saying, Gideon. God, you're saying that if you're with us, why has all this happened? He's scoffing at it. Read 13 all the way.
Yeah. Okay. And where are all his miracles? Right. Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Yet this is how I felt. This is how I used to feel.
Even though it was their fault, even though he's ignoring the fault that it was their worshiping of false gods that made this happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's blaming God.
Yeah.
We're blaming God.
Yes. I used to be just like him.
Do you see, right?
I used to be just like that.
But do you see, when we're that way, and you and I were, and I'm sure that's just normal human nature, you see why we can't accept that James 1, 2 through 4? We can't accept it just by reading it? It doesn't make sense.
And
God,
I did not see my error. I did not. I was so blind, even though I was saved. So even though I was saved, I did not see that I was being so foolish that I did not understand. I just refused to see that it was my own fault.
Well, Raven,
nope.
Stop just a minute. Hold on. Go down in 13 where he says the Lord has forsaken us.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is doing the same thing you did, but the same thing. He's blaming God rather than seeing it's his fault.
Yeah.
You see that? This is why I say
absolutely.
This is not history, folks, 3,000 years ago. This is you and I right now as believers.
Yeah.
And you added that little phrase in there. That is seriously important. This is talking to believers. This is a conversation that's meaningless to a person who's not a believer.
But what's really important, Carl, is that we don't sit here and browbeat each other and say, well, you fool for not seeing it, because you and I, we all were there at one point. We didn't become saved and boom, we had this huge transformation and we were all totally perfect all of a sudden. That's not what happens, you know? And anybody who thinks it does.
God can do that, but that is very rare instance in the scripture.
Yeah.
It's usually you got to go through the gymnasium. You got to work in the gym for 6 months.
Yeah.
Even pro bowl.
Yeah. Well, we go
the
through
NFL
that gymnasium
players.
All our lives, Carl. You know, I mean, really.
You're right. It never changes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 14.
Okay. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?
Okay, now stop. Here's you and I that are doubting in ourselves. We're not even sure what we believe. We're blaming God, and he's telling us that now we're going to go out there. He's telling us the same thing today, folks. He's saying, I've already defeated the enemy. Go out there and defeat this sin you've got. Don't blame addiction on God. Don't say you can't help it. Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you the power through faith in him to defeat every addiction there is. If we continue and say we were born that way, it's a generational curse, or I'm genetically predisposed. You're saying that Jesus Christ can't overcome these things? Think of that heresy.
Right.
And I hear that in churches. Well,
yeah.
Betty Jane, you and your husband, it's all right because you're under a generational curse from your father. He was a terrible man. I knew him. Or it's all right because you've got these genetic, you've been born with these genes. Folks, do we not think that Jesus Christ, who designed the genes when they didn't even exist, is not Lord over that? Put this yourself in this position, what Raven's saying. We can't look upon these people the way she's saying because that's self-righteous, cocky attitude. By the same token, don't justify the fact we're sinning that we can't help it. If you're addicted to something, it's because you don't want to change because Jesus Christ has clearly told you that he has defeated every enemy. That's what he's told these people in Deuteronomy, which they disobeyed. That's why they're getting their clock cleaned in Judges, because they disobeyed God. Raven, you just read here in verses 9 and 10 where he said that he has defeated the Egyptians. He has defeated everybody that suppresses. Fear not, because the gods of the Amorites are whose hand we dwelt. He has defeated them. Do you not believe that? I just read something today that even as Christians, we can't overcome addiction. That is insanity.
It is insanity.
Oh, it is, Raven, but these people are spreading this and people are listening to it, and then they're justifying their own sin. There is no sin in the world that Carl has committed or currently does. None of his secret sins that he has the desire occasionally to go back into because I take my eyes off of God. There's not one thing that if there was one sin that God has not delivered me from when he died on the cross and shed his blood for me to defeat it, I'd be an atheist.
Yeah.
And yet we got the churches doing one thing. They're making excuses why you can continue in a sin. And then they got the other people in the church of what Raven said, saying to you, what part of stupid are you that you can't, you know, well, I'm better. I don't have any addiction. You know, get away from people's nonsense. Go to the scripture. This is written by God who gave you every word. And what does it say in 2 Timothy 3:15? Every word in this Bible is to lead you to your salvation. We're talking about your soul. We're not talking about whether Carl even knows what he's reading. We're talking about your soul that's going to spend eternity even in the new heaven or new earth or in the lake of fire, folks. You can't afford to push this envelope.
Yeah.
And this James 1:24 verses, excuse me, James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You've got to take that and put this with these verses because this is what's happening here where Gideon's blaming God. And God is saying, no, Gideon, I'm giving you this to save your soul. All right, let's go to 14, 15.
Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?
Okay,
so he said
Raven,
to him,
stop a minute.
Yeah.
Your father, your two daughters.
Yes.
In the last year and a half. If God would have said to you 3 or 4 years ago, their life is in your hands, you'd have probably thrown up. Now, why is God saying this? Because he knows that you and Gideon, when you trust in him, you're going to have his power. You see what he's saying here? Gideon is being told by God, Gideon, don't worry about it, that you're nothing but sitting here. You're in hiding in verse number 15. You're in hiding, threshing wheat in secret. And God, you're telling me that I'm going to go and defeat this? Yes, I am, but it's going to be in my power, not yours. And you're
right.
You're,
yes.
I don't keep bringing you up to make you feel good or because you're on with me, but a lot of these things that we're going through, you've lived through it recently, where you had a father whose wife was not a believer. You had two children that have recently. If God told you 5 years ago that you're going to convert them, you'd have said, yeah, right.
But right.
You're going to not convert them. You're going to lead them.
No,
the
not
path.
Convert
okay.
them, no, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now go to
and there, and I have, and they're still not converted, but boy, they are, they're seeing. They're seeing.
Well, you're, but again, if God would have told you, Raven, here's what it's going to be in September of 2022, if he'd have told you that
right.
in 2018, you'd have said, yeah, right.
Right. Oh, exactly. They still aren't, you know, I've got children.
Well,
I have a saved
Raven,
daughter.
But you've made quantum leap. They've made quantum
leaps.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
amazing.
Anybody there that is saying, I can't do it, you're right, you can't. But God is saying
right.
if you'll trust his power in you, he will do it for you. That's the point I'm making.
Oh, yeah. That's
okay,
exactly
I've
it. He will
you.
Do
I've
it.
I've seen it in you. But I've seen it in you. All right, go with 15 again and on to 16.
So he said to him, O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said
hold
to
on,
him.
Hold on. Remember when Samuel came to anoint a new king?
Yes.
He was the least that the father even said, well, he's nothing. He's nothing but a shepherd.
I so identify with verse 15, Carl. I know you know what I mean. I know that you understand that. I
okay,
am the
that's
least.
The same thing. But when Samuel came to Jesse's house, and Jesse took him to all six of his sons, and then one of his sons, I believe it was Benjamin, said, oh, we've got one more brother. And so Samuel said to Jesse, I want that. And Jesse said, him? He's nothing but a kid, and he's a shepherd. You see the same thing here?
Yes. And I'm not the youngest, but I am definitely the least in my family.
Well, you are, but we all are. In our own
strength,
we have nothing to offer. Nothing, nothing.
Yes.
All right, keep going in 16.
All right. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back.
That's interesting. I pray until I come unto thee and bring forth my presence and set it before thee. And I will tarry. Okay. What are you getting out of that?
I think for me, like it's New Testament.
This is Gideon talking.
Yeah. And
this
for New Testament,
faith,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's, you know, I have to put my entire faith in you.
Yeah.
It is me praying and putting all my faith in you. That's what it takes.
Look at verse 13 where he's blaming God for delivering him into the hands of the Midianites.
Yeah.
Now in 18, he says to God, I'm going to go get a sacrifice. Don't you dare leave. Because you see all of the where he now realizes that all his strength is not in himself.
Yes.
When his strength
and now
in
we
himself,
have to see that we're saying, okay, I get it. I have to put all of my my trust in the sacrifice, and that sacrifice
is
Christ.
Do you see the one thing that disappears? In 13, his trust was in himself, and he blamed God.
Yes.
In 18,
yes.
His trust is now totally in God, and he's got confidence that God's going to do it. And it all
yes.
depends on that mentality. In 13,
yes.
he blamed God because he was trusting in his own ability, which he didn't
yes.
have. In 18, he now is trusting God, and he has no fear.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the trust isn't in his works anymore. It's in the sacrifice.
Amen. Do you see the big change here?
Yeah.
All right. Go
yeah.
ahead with 19.
Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
Mm. Now, these are all references to unleavened cakes, to Christ's sinlessness, to the flesh, where the fire, the Holy Spirit.
The
judgment of God. Yep. I mean, this is all referring to, as the Old Testament does, the Trinity working in our lives as we
yeah.
believe. But it's working in our lives because he got out of verse 13, and he now has gone to trusting in verse 18. You see the difference?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If he'd have been in verse 13 still, you wouldn't have verse 20 and 21.
Right. Definitely.
Okay. Go ahead. Go with 22.
Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.
Now, I'm going to tell you, this to me is Jesus.
That's what I was just going to say. This is exactly what I was just going to say. Because he says the angel, now, and we know that we have seen angels. Because God
yep.
has told us, you know, you may
yep.
see angels unaware. And we know that angels came down and mated with people. And we know all these things from Scripture. So this is a big thing for him to say, I have seen the angel of the Lord face. This is a different thing here. Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
This is Christ.
Well, this is Christ. Before that phrase, go to the beginning of the sentence, alas, O Lord God. He's saying,
yes.
I acknowledge you are the Lord God.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, go ahead
yes.
with 23.
Yeah. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So, which is
okay.
him saying, listen, you're not going to die just because you've seen me. You know, there's that fear
having seen him
face
yep.
to face that it's too much and it's going to kill him. And we know that no one has ever seen God the Father face to face, only Christ.
Right. So all these appearances of Christ were all the appearances of God in the Old Testament were Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes, I agree. There's no other explanation.
The only time, Raven, that I think it was God the Father was in Genesis 2 because man had not sinned yet.
Mm. Perhaps, I may be wrong, but perhaps with Moses on the mountaintop because he only saw the backside of him. He was not allowed to see his face because he said
that's a possibility. That's a possibility because, yeah. But I can see justification before man sinned. They were walking with God in the garden.
Right.
And then,
yes.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you because Christ was not afraid to show himself, yes.
Right. Yeah, but he was not allowed to see his face because he said it would be too much for him. And then even after passing by him, remember he had to put him in the cleft of the rock, and even after passing by him, he had this glow that he had to cover his face when he went down among the people. Yeah, I think that was God the Father.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Now, remember in verse 17 and 18, hold on, 17 and 18, we're talking about a sacrifice, and he's going to have a sacrifice. And then in 19, 20, 21, we're talking about the sacrifice and the kid that was sacrificed, the animal that was sacrificed. And then what happened? He then saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, and he told him to fear not. Now, this is where everything in this sacrifice is. From verse 17 through 22 is talking about the cross. I want you to get this connection. Read verse 24. The altar where the sacrifice was is what the cross is, where the sacrifice took place for us.
Okay. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord Shalom. To this day, it is
every altar that was built, every altar in the Old Testament, folks, was where the animal was sacrificed on it. The animal was sacrificed and put on it or put on it and sacrificed. That is a representation of the cross of Christ, every altar. Okay, go ahead.
Well, yes. Right, because it's a sacrifice, which is Christ was the final sacrifice.
And that, but the
it would have to be
where it happened. So the final sacrifice of Christ, the altar was the cross.
It, that makes perfect sense. It would have to be, yes.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's consistent with everything in the Old Testament. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
I actually never thought of it that way, but that makes perfect sense. It would have to be. Yes.
You know, for anybody that has difficulty with the symbolism, as they call it in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a comment. And I don't go to his church. I don't follow him on radio or TV. But 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I happened to have the opportunity to listen to Jimmy Swaggart explain in detail what all these sacrifices and all these instruments and all these places, what they all referred to as far as Christ and the end sacrifice. And he did a tremendous job at it. Now, whether you love him, hate him, don't even know who he is, Jimmy Swaggart in the Old Testament, I can't tell you that this is my own knowledge. But everything that Swaggart said, I would go through and read the Old Testament, and I actually tried to find him wrong, and I couldn't. And I'm telling you, that altar all the way through has always been the place of sacrifice, which the animal is always representing Jesus Christ. The altar is representing the cross. That's just, but Jimmy Swaggart is the best that I've ever seen that explains to my lack of understanding, so I get the symbolism. And that's an aside.
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, and I understand what you're saying, you know. I mean, you may not care for the man personally or whatever, you know, I don't know. I mean, whether you do or whether you don't, you know, you can't argue with truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Raven, you say you learned something from my studies, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, but you've told me that you don't care for me, so that's a perfect example.
Carl.
All right.
You know I love you. You're my brother. And he's not my blood brother, but he's my blood brother,
family,
you know?
You don't have a choice to choose family, even in the kingdom or through Christ.
That's right, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Carl and I aren't related. by blood, but we are related by the blood of Jesus Christ.
We're all related, folks. If any of you in this whole group here, if you're believers, we're all related. And
that's right.
Through the blood
that's
of
right.
Christ. You're right.
That's right. Amen.
25, I'm going to tell you something, Raven. 25 is going to get into a whole nother thing where we're going to see that the bullock, that the altar, all pointed to Christ and the cross. So I'm going to just do this. Let's stop with verse 24. We'll pick up with 25 next week, because I don't want to get into this and in 2 minutes have to stop. I want to keep continuity.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I understand.
So we'll
sure.
pick up with 25 next week in chapter 6.
All right.
Okay. All right, why don't you say a final prayer, and then I will let whoever is coming on, if there is anybody, come in.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the trials that you put us through, knowing that it really does work patience in our lives and bring us to a stronger faith in you. We love you so much for the chastening, for the love, for the grace that it imparts into our lives. You are such a wonderful, wonderful Father. And we just love you so much and give you all the praise and the glory and the love that we can possibly give you in our human flesh. We look forward to seeing you someday when we pass into the heavenly places where we can actually see you face to face. And I can't wait to get there, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
Raven, do me a favor. In about 2 or 3 minutes,
yeah.
Give me a quick call. Just one little thing I want to tell you.
All right. Will do.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks. Yep. Thanks, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Bye, y'all.